Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse with our special brunch edition. Happy Saturday morning to my guest, Laurence Birch, and our special guest, Tanya Mercado. Welcome, everybody.
Hi. Tanya,
hey.
Happy Saturday.
Yeah, welcome, Tanya. Happy. Thanks so much for coming on the show with us.
Thank you for having me. Excited.
Yeah, so nice to have you.
I like the intro.
Yeah.
We do too.
I like it.
Yeah, thank you.
I like it.
Yeah. It's peppy.
It is.
Thank you.
Yeah, we work with a wonderful musician to craft that, so it's fun.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So, good morning. My brain is still not fully awake yet. I'm trying to get there.
Maybe you should give us some bio info about our guest. Do you have that at your fingertips? You want her to tell us what she's all about?
No.
She's a pretty
no,
amazing
I'm gonna,
person.
Well, she's going to tell us, but I'll read the introduction, or I won't read it.
Okay.
But anyway. Here we go. Good morning,
okay.
Tanya. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning,
listeners.
Good morning, Michael.
Sorry.
Sending you some psychic coffee, dude. Like a few espressos.
I there know. I do.
Sending you some energy right now.
There you go.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So,
brain
Tanya Mercado, she is the Olorisha Omo Agayu. And she practices Santeria. She's been crowned for 21 years this August. She practices Afro-Cuban Santeria and Palo Mayombe. Is that right? Did I say that?
Yep, you got it. Palo Mayombe.
Okay. And she's also the owner of Ashe Imports. She is also co-host of a podcast called Bruno or Brujo 101.
Brujo.
And that's going to be that will be released this month. And her other co-host is Martin Moreno. And she uses Claire's in her practice, which is great, and she is the mom of one amazing young boy. And with that, we welcome to the Psychic Funhouse, Tanya Mercado. Welcome, Tanya.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So, just
run.
A little background about myself. I'm from Southern California. My mother was always very into, like, we used to tell her she was a hippie because ever since I was little, I could remember crystals and sage and energy. And, you know, I'm from Mexican descent, so we would be going to Buddhist temples and doing things that my friends were not doing. And right about 1985, she used to go get read to with a lady who would throw her tarot cards. And in one of the readings, the lady told her, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm what's called a santera, I practice santeria, and you've already reached a point where the cards are not what you need. You need to start investigating santeria and start getting initiated you need to take the first step, which is alekas, which are our prayer beads that are given in sets of five, which each represents an orisha. So my mom slowly gets into it. By that time I'm junior high school. The idea of being a santera is very taboo, very looked down on. It was something we did not tell people when they would come to our house. It was something that we were always told to hide. Hide it because people are going to say you're a witch. People are going to say, all kinds of things because they're miseducated.
Right.
So my mom really moved quickly in the religion. She became an olorisha, which means someone who is inducted into the secrets of her titular saint pretty quickly. She's a Omo Batala. And once she started going, she really tapped into her psychic abilities. She started, she's clairaudient, clairvoyant. And it just really started to change the whole dynamic in my home because then everything became energy. You know, don't say that. Don't say bad things. Don't throw it into the world. Say good energy, and a lot of education. My mother's a very intelligent person, so she began to read a lot. So with that, I have an older sister, and in our infanteria, we believe that Egun, which is your spirit guides, will take you where you need to go. But for that to happen, you have to tap into your connection with Egun. And for that to happen, you have to practice spiritualist seances, mindful meditation, things like that to connect to your spiritual guides. So at about 13, my mom is having my sister and I sit around a table, water gazing, meditating. It was just, so we started really, really young. And in the beginning, like everyone, you don't have a clue what you're doing, but that was, I'm 43 this month, so that was a while ago. And ever since then, it just kind of started a progression into psychic experiences and things, psychic phenomenon that would happen in our home. And then we started getting people who needed help, so my mother would help them. And then once I got comfortable with this is how my life is going to go, this is what I'm going to practice, then in 2000, I became crowned an Olorisha. I took a very long time to become crowned an Olorisha, considering I was in it for so long. But I wanted to do it when I understood it. And I went to Cuba. I went to Cuba, and my godfather crowned me Agayu. And that same godfather inducted me into the secrets of Falo Mayombe, which is a different sect of our religion, which deals directly with spirits. Santeria deals with saints and olorishas. Falo Mayombe deals directly with Egun, which is spirit. And and just as the years have gone by, I've just really kind of gotten comfortable with I'm just going to be a person who knows stuff. And I tried to change the consciousness around Santeria because we do practice animal sacrifice. It's not something that's done all the time. Not like what you see on TV, but there is an element to animal sacrifice, as in any religion, if you go back. The ancestors sacrificed humans, and then the animals came along. But so I've really, with the pandemic, I was able to work from home, and I started seeing all these things online, Instagram and YouTube, and I started seeing all these people who would post that they were santeros. It was misinformation, and it was really more for a shock factor. Like, oh, I'm a witch. I'm going to curse you. And I didn't like it because I have a son, and he just got inducted last year. He's Olorisha. And I was like, I need to change the narrative here. Even if it's just for a few people, I need to change the narrative. So I started a Instagram called Ashe Imports, and it's inclusive of everything that it was taught to me when I was younger. Crystals, spiritual baths, burning sacred herbs. It was just my net was cast so wide with all the things that I was blessed to be able to learn. And I started changing people's opinion of things. Yes, I'm a santera. No, I don't live off of santeria. Yes, I do help people. You know, yes, I believe in crystals. Yes, I believe in Reiki. Yes, because I don't think that spiritualism is a one-size-fits-all. I think that it comes in many different forms, and spirit will guide you to the form that is best suited for your journey. So I started to do that, and shockingly, I started getting a lot of people messaging me, including Martin, which is a person who I have a podcast with, and it's just really been playing out in a way where I hope and I think and I've noticed that people's opinions are slowly shifting. Like, it's not, you know, since Salem, which is where Burn, but at this point, I think that there's such a need for a higher consciousness and for people to connect with their loved ones and for people to connect with spirit, that they are more open to talking about the different paths that can help them. So,
right.
That's me.
Wow. What a history there.
Yeah, it's pretty. And, I mean, of course, a lot of things happened in between, a lot of ceremonies and things like that. But but Santeria is very, it's based on, it's an Afro-Cuban religion. So with the slave trade, when the slaves came, they stopped at Haiti, Puerto Rico, Cuba. And all of those people already had deities that they believed in that were based in naturalism. You know, the earth, the river, the moon, the volcano. So when they brought them over, you know, and they were conquested, they were forced to believe in Catholicism. So what they did was they took the Catholic saints and they tried to find some kind of connection to their own deities and would mask their deities to these saints. So like Agayu, which is the deity I have done, is the volcano. St. Christopher is always depicted as someone who, like, carried the children, you know, across the river, very tall, very... And Agayu is known in Santeria as the giant. And he's, like, the promise of a new day. So they connected him with St. Christopher. So then there's a lot of... There's a lot of people who think that we worship saints, like St. Christopher, St. Barbara... But that's not true. Those saints were just put because at that time, because the slaves were not allowed to practice, the punishment was usually death or a beating. So they just started to synchronize the saints. So what we practice really is a form almost of naturalism when you really get down to it. And the baptism into our religion, which a lot of people ask me about, we don't have a baptism with water, per se. What happens is we have an Eleke ceremony, which is a sacred bead, and there'll be five basic beaded necklaces that are given to you, and there is a ceremony that goes with it, and each beaded necklace with a different color represents a different orisha. That orisha is, those five are picked because those are the five main tribes. So that's how you kind of start getting inducted into Santeria. And then we do a lot of spiritual masses, which can be compared to seances. We're not, the difference is we're not trying to connect with one particular entity. We have spiritual altars that have cups of water, pictures of deceased people, you know, things that mean something to you spiritually. And then we will light a candle and we'll pray. We use Catholic prayer. And we'll all focus our energy. And the people who are, you know, psychic or have psychic ability will start to tell the other people in the group things to help them along their path, along their life journey, so that they can reach the goals that they're trying to reach. So in our house, we practice that quite often.
So it sounds like it's kind of a group,
a group,
you know, effort in a way, I guess, not just one person.
So the spiritual masses are usually led by one or two people, the people who have been, who have developed their psychic ability the most, which usually, as it currently will be my mom and myself, But we definitely, so I want to say that we're a very different somebody else. The way we practice, the way that we practice and that we're so open to teaching is not how Santeria is. Santeria is very, to a point, it's almost ethnocentric for Cubans.
Sure.
I'm not Cuban. And when we got into Santeria, it was very difficult to break those barriers because you have to remember these are people who this is all they had.
Right.
And when they would see someone, you know, not of their color, not of their descent coming in, they would either, one, not want to do things correctly to you, not induct you into the secrets correctly, or two, there was just a lot of resistance. So I was very fortunate to fall in with the godparent who I fell in with, who very quickly put me in front of all his other godchildren and was like, this is not about color. She has a gift, and we're going to develop it. So we're very open in our house. I like to say that my religious home is shared with my mother because we really work everything together. And she's been, my godfather died shortly thereafter during my ceremony. And my mother's been my main guide. So we really like to help people to develop their gifts. And Santeria also has a very bad rap because some people who have no religious etiquette or morality will charge a lot of money for a lot of different things. That's not what we do. We are very blessed where Santeria is not our business. Santeria is something that we do because we believe that the energy that you put out into the world is going to be returned to you.
Right.
Of course, if you're going to come to my house and you want to have something at my house, and let's say you invite 10 people, you know, and you tell me, I'm going to buy food for all these people who are coming, great. You know, if you want to bring flowers as an offering, great. That's very different than me scaring you with the possibility of some kind of imminent doom and telling you have to pay me a bunch of money. That was something that we also wanted to change that whole narrative because there are things you have to pay for, but it shouldn't cause you a stress in your life and it shouldn't gouge you. I think that as Santeros, we believe that you have to pay somebody when they do things for you so that person doesn't lose their ashe. Their ashe means the power to make things happen, the power to manifest things with your words. So if I were to go to you or Michael and get a reading, of course I'm going to pay you. That's your ashe. And I want you to have that ashe forever. And you're going to set the price, and I'm going to pay it if I can. But the difference is you have a price set, and I'm not going to change the price depending on the shoes you walked in with or the car you drove in with. So, you know, that's also something that we're trying to change. I go to Cuba a lot. And I do most of my very large ceremonies in Cuba just because I feel like something has happened in Santeria culture in California that has made it a business. And that's not what I want. That's not what I want for my godchildren. Once people have alekes for me and necklaces, they become my godchildren. And that's not the path that I want them to take. I want them to take a path of enlightenment and just a higher vibration. And here it's become really difficult. And with this pandemic, there are a lot of new witches. Right? Doing a lot of crazy things. So I try to go back to Cuba as often as I can.
Where in Cuba do you go, if you don't mind my asking? Like,
sure. I go to Havana. Mm-hmm. I go to a place called Marianao. If you've been to Cuba, it's about 20 minutes from Havana. My most recent ceremonies were done in Marianao. I've also done them in Vedado, which is all around Havana. And then usually the ceremony to become an Orisha takes 7 days. So we went in November and we crowned five different people who had been waiting for a long time for us to go to Cuba. One of them was my son. And it's a beautiful ceremony. It's something that I've been really blessed to see numerous times. And once the person is crowned spiritually, we call it the crowning, you can totally see the change in some people. And it's something that, you know, well, you and Michael, you're both, you know, you're both psychic and empaths and you feel things, but it's so different when someone is just going off of faith and doing these things. And then you see right away, oh, wow, that's so crazy. Like, they're already changing. Within these 7 days, their mindset has already changed. It's not going to be instantaneous, but there's a little something that starts to grow.
Transformation.
Like, okay. Yeah,
wow.
It's like, wow.
So when you go to Cuba, is there like a group over there that you practice with? Or like a family? Or how does that take place?
So I go to Cuba and I was, you know, in Cuba and in the States, you really run the risk of getting someone who's going to try to, for lack of a better word, like bamboozle you.
So exploit.
Once exploit you. Cuba is very poor. It's not like United States poor. It's a different kind of poor. There is no toilet paper. There's no food. It's poor in a sense that if you've always been raised in the States, you don't recognize. So there is that risk. Wow. Once my godfather died, I was fortunate to meet somebody who was in my home, religious home, who I worked with for a long time. She then fled the island and came to the United States. And then about 5 years ago, I met someone else and I got sucked into this very chaotic religious home. I was there for like 8 months and it was just too chaotic for me. But luckily, I really focused and meditated and talked to spirit because I already knew I wanted to do my son's ceremony. And I talked to the Orisha, who he was going to get inducted into. If I talked to them, I mean, we meditate and we try to connect with that power. And I basically just opened myself to the universe and said, if you want this to happen for my son, if this is what is best for him, you're going to put someone in my path who is of the same mindset, who I can trust. And randomly on Facebook, if you can believe that, I'm part of a lot of Santeria groups. Someone messaged me to ask me a question about something completely different. And we started talking, and he informed me that he was a high priest, which is a babalao in our religion. And we became really good friends, and I went to Cuba by myself the first time with one of our god kids, met him, had him do like a very small ceremony because I wanted to see what it was, what energy I was going to pick up from it. And it was great, and he's great. And he has a real gift, and he connects with his guides very well. Babalaos are high priests, and once you're in Orisha, most of us get readings with Babalaos. We give people who do not have saintdom, but we get readings from Babalaos. So once I went, I met him. His name's Fidel, randomly. And that's the house that I practice in now with him. And he's also been through a lot, and he recognizes the need to change the narrative, and he recognizes the need to really try to change people's perspective of where we are with Santeria. So that's the home that I go to now. And I have a group of santeros, Orishas, that help me do ceremony. And every time I go, I always tell myself, I'm never coming back here. It makes me so sad. Cuba's so sad. I hate seeing this. But then when I go and I see all these people who become like my family, I'm like, oh, I got to come back. Like, I got to come back, you know. And then, I haven't been back since November. And I'm actually set to go back next month. And, we're talking every day. They're like, we can't wait for you to come back. And it turns into, like, this is my religious family now, you know. And they, if something's happening here to me, whatever it may be, they're, they all get together and they're like, Tanya, at 12 o'clock, we're going to send you good vibrations. You know, we've got a group of 25 people here and we're concentrating so things go the way you need them to go. And I think that's something that you cannot buy with money. You taking out your time to send me a good vibe is like, wow. So even though I don't want to give money to the Cuban government, I do need to go back, because when I go, I give people an opportunity to work. They haven't worked. When I went in November, they hadn't worked religiously in 9 months.
Yikes.
Wow.
And Cuba's not like here. They have jobs, but the jobs don't pay anything. My friend's a doctor. Right. He makes $21 a month.
Oh, my God.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So when I get there, he makes $21 a month as a doctor. And then when I get there, as soon as he knows that I get there, I'm like, can you be my private taxi person for a week? I'm going to have my God kids give you $20 a day to drive them around.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
a fortune. Well,
it's a fortune. Wow. It's a fortune for them. And I'm paying, just so people know, $20 a day is a lot. People pay like $5 a day in Cuba.
Right.
You know, I have a lady who, she's my cook and my cleaning lady. She gets paid $1 a day when I'm not there. $1. Not to mention that when I go to Cuba, the last time I went, I took 300 pounds of luggage by myself.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I take food.
Good. Material
I take medicine. Yeah, I take medicine. Yeah. I take, everything that I can think of, and I try to take so much because I don't know when I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
And I try to teach my God kids, when I went in November to do the ceremonies, they were like, oh, my gosh, this is so amazing. They're so connected. And I said, now think about it. You're here, and we're helping them. So the next time you come, if you feel like it, bring them some aspirin, bring them some this. And, of course, all of my God kids, because we believe in that circle. You give, you get. So, we try to be open to things like that. But it's funny because in Santeria, they don't know about crystals. And in Cuba, they know less about crystals.
Right.
There's no sage. Mm-hmm.
There's no Cuban hippies.
There's no Cuban hippies. That hasn't hit yet. Because I think that the crystals, it would be so impossible for them to purchase anything, right? And the sage doesn't grow naturally. A natural incense in Cuba is they peel garlic, and the skin of the garlic they will burn in their homes to get rid of bad juju.
Interesting.
So,
there's so much.
So when I went, I took sage.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, what is this?
Right,
and then I burned
it.
And one of my friends there is like, bring me that plant you brought me last time. It smelled really good.
Right.
Bring it
they liked
me.
It.
I'm like, oh,
nice.
Yeah, they liked it. Because as an herbalist, you would be considered an osainista in our religion.
Mm-hmm.
Osainista means someone who has studied the sacred plants and is able to make teas and baths and remedies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the hardest things to be inducted into.
Really?
Because there's so many plants. And the wrong mix of plants, as I'm sure you can tell me more, the wrong mix of plants can make you feel worse.
Yeah.
As opposed to better.
Yeah. Gee, I hope you're listening to this, Michael.
Wow.
Finally start showing me some.
I am.
Let's go.
It's the hardest. All of our ceremonies will require a spiritual bath, which is a bath that's based on nothing but herbs. And the minimum of herbs is 10.
Uh-huh. Mm. Nice.
So Any crowning ceremony will take, like, you know, 21 different sacred herbs.
Great.
So, yeah, it's got a lot of branches to it.
That's a good way of saying it. You know, you said so much. I want to pick up a thread that you mentioned before about how you came to find your godfather and that he, in a sense, you know, was like your sponsor. It sounds like, I mean, he saw your potential and he put you ahead of even his own people that he'd been working with previously. It sounded like it reminds me of my awareness of, you know, as a shamanic practitioner, that's kind of the closest thing to, you know, there's such a diverse practice among the native people that are here, you know, and that have their own indigenous way of life and spirituality. You know, shamanism is just kind of a, you know, umbrella made up term in a sense. But there's that process that goes on too, you know, in the native community where some people, and I don't know if this is happening in Santa Maria, it'd be great to speak to that too, but a lot of the traditional ways are just dying out with the elders because there's nobody stepping forward, you know, on the reservation who really feels called or is wanting to take up the craft necessarily. And so there are people that have come from the outside. So some of them, you know, with maybe not the best of intentions, but also people that are really sincere and really want to honor this pathway and become closer to it. And so there's this conflict between, you know, the tribal people maybe are, you know, having to make a decision, you know, do I take somebody in from the outside who, you know, a lot of the times doesn't look like them, right, in appearance, but they have a pure heart and they really want to contribute, you know, not just colonize or take something. And all sorts of things can happen with that. Sometimes there's you know, a tremendous amount of acceptance and things go really well, but often there's friction or, you know, conflict. And so I can imagine, especially with your approach, which sounds really like a you're kind of bringing Santa Maria into the present and even preparing it for the future, you know, with addressing some of the challenges that are ethically, you know, woven in there, as well as just, you know, helping people to translate it essentially into something that's going to work for them, you know, with all the modern stuff that we are enmeshed in inevitably. So pretty fascinating, really, to hear all that.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So I want to tell you the story of how we met, which I
Please.
Don't really share a lot because people will think I'm crazy, but my mother.
Oh, that's the psychic
went,
fun house. We're crazy.
Okay,
here, so you're welcome.
So,
exactly.
So my mom owned a real estate company in the 90s. Mm. Okay, so she worked. Mm-hmm. She's an immigrant. She came here. She passed the real estate test phonetically, and then she built herself up really like by herself. Owned a real estate company in the 90s. Starts practicing Santeria, meets some people. Meets a lady who tells her she's going to go to Cuba. My mother had never been to Cuba at that point. My mother tells her, I don't want to go. I really don't have the money. I'm not going to go. And the lady tells her, I'm going to pay for you to go.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I'm going to pay for you to go because I feel like you need to go with me. So my mom comes home.
Wow.
At this time, my mother was still married, and tells my dad, I'm going to Cuba. And my dad is like, I mean, I'm in high school at this point. And my dad's like, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. Mom's like, bye. So then my mom leaves, goes to Cuba. And when she's in Cuba, she meets my godfather. Because somebody here who she knew tells her, I have a godparent in Cuba. Can you please take him this piece of leather so he can make himself some shoes? He's a cobbler. So my mother goes to his house. Yeah, my mom goes to his house with this piece of leather, doesn't know him. She's just trying to do a good deed. And he, you know, she's like, here's your stuff, you know, and he starts telling her, oh, you know, I practice Palo Mayombe. They start talking. My mother says that when she met him, she felt very at home with him. And he starts telling her, giving her like a psychic reading on the set. So my mother starts, and it's so informative of what happened to her with details. We are very, my mom likes to say we don't like the show. That means that we don't like people who are like, you know, people can code read you, people can Google you today, people can, but things that happen in your life that are very specific, once somebody tells you something like that, spirit is connecting. So she meets him, she, you know, they talk, she comes back from Cuba. My older sister is 7 years older than me. At the time, she was like 22. They go to Cuba together, her and my mother. At this point, I don't want to do anything in San Pedro because I'm in high school and I want to be in high school. And I don't want my friends to think that I'm a witch and I don't want to do any of that. And I just want to be in high school. So I don't want anything to do with San Pedro. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. My sister and mom will go to Cuba. And my godfather, whose name was Arturo, tells her, you need to bring your other daughter. And mom's like, she's not going to come. She's just not going to come. And he's like, she's going to come. She's going to come at her own time. So fast forward to about a year later, due to some circumstances, I went to Cuba. The Cuban airport is very small. It's like the Long Beach airport here. And at the time that I went was right after something called a periodo especial, which was the worst time to go to Cuba, of course. And I had no cell phone back then, nothing. And I lose my mom in the airport.
Oh,
no. I have no address to where I'm going. I have no money.
Oh, geez.
I have nothing. Because in Cuba, you go through customs by yourself. They put you in a little kiosk. But they split everyone up.
You're
and then they talk
initiated.
To you. And they're talking to you and they're asking you all these things like, why are you here?
Right.
What are you bringing? Are you a spy?
Right.
You know, whatever.
Oh, my God.
So
in that time,
I got held up longer than my mom. So then, unbeknownst to me, she's looking for me and I'm being relieved. And I walk out and I see this like 6'3" black Cuban man. And he comes up to me and he's like, Tanya. And I'm like, who are you? And he's like, I'm your padrino. And I'm like, no, you're not. I don't have one of those. And I don't know where my mother is. And he's like, yeah, I was all sunshine back then. And he's like, he's like, no, I'm your padrino. I'm a very, my godfather was amazing. And he's like, no, I'm your godparent. And I'm like, no, you're not. Do you know my mother? And he's like, come on. And he, like, takes me by the hand, and I'm like, where the hell are we going? And he takes me to my mom. And I'm like, Mom, you know, when did you show this guy a picture of me? And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm like, how did he know that I'm me? And I asked him, how did you know that I was me? And he told me something, I mean, I will never forget. It's like more than 21 years later. And he told me, I recognize what's mine. And he's like, our spirits have already connected. I'm like, oh, okay. And then, you know, my mom was doing some ceremonies and he's, you know, kind of talking to me. And I saw how his godchildren were with him. They were so protective of him. And he was so giving that I just started to really be attracted to that energy in him, his family, his wife, they were all amazing. And when, you know, we would talk about spirit and things like that, and I would tell him, well, I feel this, I feel that. In that short time that I was there like 15 days, he told me, I'm not going to force you to do any ceremonies, but I am going to tell you all these things that have happened to you. And he starts telling me, he goes, you know, you can change the narrative and you can control the way the spirit talks to you. And because it's very chaotic when somebody's tapped into their psychic energy, you know, it's very chaotic. And he was like, and if you don't start putting a leash on these things and showing them etiquette, they're going to drive you crazy. It's not going to be okay. And about 4 days into it, I woke up one morning and I told him, okay, I want you to induct me and to follow my own best, which is a very
What shifted? What shifted that night? Did you have a dream or something, or you just transformed, or what?
Right. I always tell people that when I met him, I have a picture. I'll send it to you, Michael, so you can see how different we looked. But when I met him, it was like, even though I was such a brat, and I was like, I don't know you. I felt something within me connected to something in him.
Right.
And I had this feeling that he would not let anything happen to me.
Mm, wow.
It was very,
that's a big deal.
I've never had that feeling again. I want to tell you that, of course, with my mother, she's my mother, but I have never, not even with my husband, I've never had that feeling where this person is never going to let anything happen to me.
Mm-mm. Wow.
He was the
Mm-mm.
only person
who I felt
that with. And it was so strong that I just was like, no, I have to do this. I have to do this. And he would practice Palo Mayombe in a cave in Cuba. No bathrooms, guys. A cave.
Wow.
I'm the
wow.
only person of my color going into this cave. I went into the cave, and I remember that I told my mom, oh, look, there's birds. I could feel like a bird. Yes. My mom tells me,
nice
little
furry birds. Let's pet the birds.
Yes. I ducked my head
God.
And a
That's
bunch
awesome.
Of bats went out.
That's
because
awesome.
We
wow.
also believe in Palo Mayombe that certain people have the ability to shapeshift and you have a you have an animal, right? And my godfather's was a bat.
Nice. Ooh, that's
so
a good
this
gosh.
Place was full of bats.
Love
you know?
Wow. Let's see how they go.
And that was my first introduction into how people don't want to teach outsiders. So when he took me in there and he was going to do the ceremony to me, he brought my hand and he was like, all of you, I'm going to tell you something. She has a gift. We're going to do this. And she's your sister. And you have to defend her. Because the world is not going to be nice. The world is going to be tough to everybody in this room. And if you and you cannot defend each other, you guys are going to lose.
Wow.
Wow.
It's almost like spirit has spoken to him.
Totally.
I wanted to say it seems like spirit already to him and showed him your potential and possibly your future and how effective you were going to be.
Yeah, I totally believe spirit spoke to him because he told me things 21 years ago that are happening to me now. And he would call me, and we would talk from Cuba, and he would tell me, you know, I had never traveled outside of the U.S. until I went to Cuba. Of course, Mexico, I'm Mexican, but I've never gone anywhere else in the world. And I remember that when I went to see him that first time and he did the ceremony to me, he told me, you're going to travel 21 lands. You're going to set foot in 21 lands.
Oh, wow.
You're going to see 21. He's like, at minimum, you're going to set foot in 21 lands because your spirits, they guide you. They're a tribe, and they want to take you where they're from. He's like, and you're going to be attracted to things, and you have to, and sure as everything, I've been to more than 21 lands now.
Wow.
And this was 21 years ago.
How did you take that? How did you take that?
I was like,
you
want to know, it's such a human experience. I was like, oh, I'm going to have a lot of money then. I'm going to go to all these places? That was like, wow. Okay. I was a kid. So I was like, oh, how's that going to happen? You know? And of course, it never happens the way you think it will. But
it was just
very, now I realize with his passing, because now people can follow you, you know, we believe in death. So even though my godfather's not here with me, physically, he's with me spiritually every day. And
yeah, I was just
going to
ask. I'm sure you're connected. Yeah.
Very. And sometimes, I don't know if you guys do this, but do you ever, like, I don't know, do you ever kind of test things? Like, I don't know if that spirit's really here. Let's see if this happens. You know,
Michael,
I haven't really
felt
him.
Do you test things, Michael?
All the time. I'm constantly testing still. I believe now, my belief now is much stronger, but I'm still testing, always. Yeah.
Right, because it's like, it's so human, right? Yesterday I had a spiritual mass, and somebody who I hadn't seen in 2 years came to my home, showed up at my doorstep, and told me, can I sit in the mass? And I, okay, sure. I mean, out of nowhere. I was like, okay. Huh. And he's a person who's clairvoyant. And he sat in the mass, and I had told my mother the night before, I had really bad insomnia. Sometimes when the energy is really high, I can't sleep. I had told her the night before, I miss my godfather so much. You know, there's so many things I wish he would have been here to see. And, I don't know if his spirit is really with us anymore. Maybe he's moved on, And just talking to her about things like that. And my mom's kind of rolling her eyes like, yes, he is. And the person who came to my house yesterday sits down. We start the ceremony. And he looks at me and he's like, I'm going to tell you something. Your godfather says, why do you keep asking if he's around? And he's like, he never met my godfather. And he's like, yeah, there's this guy. He's like 6'3". He's dark complected. He's like, and he's wearing this. And he says he's your grandfather. And I was like, oh, that is crazy.
Wow.
He's like,
awesome.
Yeah, he says that he's obviously around. And everything that he told you is coming, is happening. He's here. And I was like, oh,
wow.
But, yeah, it was definitely, he took a big chance on me.
Yeah, obviously.
Wow. And I took a big chance on him. And it worked out for the best. But I definitely feel like there's a lot of greed when it comes to, like, shamanism, santeria, things like that, because it was the only thing that they had, right?
Sure.
It's so sacred. And there are some people who are not meant to have these secrets because they don't use them correctly.
Right.
But I think that the people who are really religious will recognize your intentions.
What do you mean by that, Tonya? Could you elaborate on that?
So I feel like I have had people come to me who want to get crowned a certain deity and have come with money and have told me, okay, I'm ready to go, but the intent is not good. The intent is I want to become a santero in name, and I want you to do it to me so then I can have your reputation to back me up. And then I'm going to go ahead and gouge people and charge people and do things incorrectly. Right. And so I feel like now I allow spirit to guide me more so. I'm learning to let them steer the car, and it's scary. Because some things don't make sense.
Yeah. Right.
Right? You're like,
Wow. That's great, though, that you do that and that you have the integrity to, be discerning also and not allow yourself to do this practice for money. So that's great.
Yeah, there's so many more things than money.
Right.
True.
Should we take callers? We have a bunch of callers.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Ready for...
What do you think, Tony?
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay.
All right. All right, everybody. So we're going to go to the listeners. We have a lot of listeners. And tell us your name and where you're calling from. And so we're going to go to area code 775. Hello, 775. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Thank you very much. My name is Wendy from California.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. Nice to meet you.
Do you have a
nice to meet
question?
You too. Thank you.
Great.
And I am feeling very sad because I was really excited about getting new hearing aids, and I paid a lot of money for a new style, and they're not working out for me. I did reach out to the insurance company outside the window of 45 days. I was trying to make it work, and also I couldn't go down to the office because of COVID. I'm at high risk. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I called the company and asked them if I could return these and then exchange them for the kind that I used successfully for so many years. It took them a long while, and finally got a call from a woman who's described herself as an advocate. Her first name mm-hmm. begins with an M. And okay. I've worked in call centers for a long time, and I know to always behave professionally, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
This woman, she said no. The manufacturer said no. And then I called her back 2 days ago, and I asked her very nicely, what about me buying some new hearing aids at your cost under the circumstances? And she said no. And she didn't have her information correct for part of this, so I politely explained the facts. And there was some repetition because of my hearing disability, but I was mm-hmm. always very polite. And I've discovered that she has put notes stating that if I called to connect me to a supervisor, and I find this very hurtful. My reputation is very important. So the hearing aids I have, I paid so much money for, and they're not going to be of use mm-hmm. to me. And also mm-hmm. I feel physically wounded because mm-hmm. of the way it's not a good thing for that kind of note to be in the computer. And you don't know me, but I promise you, I'm pretty smart lady, and I'm always conscientiously polite. So mm-hmm. What I might do is call the company and ask to speak to a supervisor, because she hung up on me, and mm-hmm. they may or may not be aware that she hung up on me, which is really a bad thing to do. So mm-hmm. am I going to feel better?
What's your question?
If I speak mm-hmm. to a supervisor, will they remove that note that she put in about having to connect me to a supervisor? What is going to happen?
Sean, do you have anything you want to talk to Wendy about, or what do you think?
I think that you should probably, I feel like this person probably has a lot of things going on in their life. The person who put those notes, sometimes we don't know what everybody's going through. I would probably attempt it one more time calmly, and then if not, I feel like your energies are probably better spent somewhere else.
Well, this is the insurance company, so it would be totally a private pay elsewhere. I think the most hurtful part is that she put that note in the computer, and she's the one that hung up on me. And I promise mm-hmm. you, I've been very polite and courteous mm-hmm. at all times. So if I call and I speak to a supervisor, will they remove that note, and will they listen to the call? And I don't know if they know that she hung up on me or not. It's not about getting her in trouble, but I feel like her yeah. behavior towards me is unwarranted. And so will I at least be able to straighten out? Because they can pull the call. They can listen to it. Mm-hmm. And they'll see that she disconnected, that she hung up on me. So will they remove yeah. her notation if I call and I speak to a supervisor and ask them to listen to it?
Wendy, I think there's two kind of competing issues going on here. There's your need to basically get your hearing back through whatever means necessary. And then, you know, you've got some equipment that isn't working, and that issue needs to be resolved. I think that's probably the primary goal. And then there's this other kind of side thing, and I'm not saying that to dismiss it or lessen it, because it's obviously got a hold of you and it's really significant. But that's you know, that is this injustice aspect of it, and it's kind of wrapped up in the you know, the company isn't serving you, and the insurance aspect is complicated, and all this other stuff. So I guess you know what my guides want you to take in is that you're going to have to make a choice between which one of these things do you really want to manifest. If you need to have this injustice righted, where you've been written up essentially, they have a file on you, then that's the capital you have to spend for that. If it's a priority for you to make this hearing aid situation better, then that's where your focus is going to have to be. You're not going to be able to do both. You're not going to be able to fight two battles at the same time, essentially. And I'm not saying that you can't or that you shouldn't, but the practical nature of what your dilemma is it's spreading you pretty thin, and you're already kind of dealing with a lot of emotional and psychological stuff with this. And it's real. I'm not, again, dismissing it. I'm trying to track you back to getting you to a place where you're going to be in a better situation moving forward, right? So, you know, their suggestion is, as much as possible, at least for right now, let the stuff that you've had, this conflict with this person, go, or at least put it on the back burner, and really focus on getting the hearing aid situation back under your control and back in a place where, if it's possible for you to have things come out in your favor, and to do that, that's what you have to focus on. The other stuff is a side issue, and it's going to become a distraction, I think. So that's where I'm coming from.
Well, they have the proof. They could pull the call, and they could see that I was consistently polite. I'm doing without hearing aids. I don't have the money to buy new ones, and so I'll just box them up and put them on a shelf. But my reputation is very important to me, so. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to boomerang on me if I call and speak politely to a supervisor and ask them to listen to the call and ask them if they could remove that notation. If I focus just on that, would they do that for me?
I want to jump in here with something.
Yeah.
Can I? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy, one of the things the guides were showing me is that I think you need to go actually above this actual location and maybe go to corporate headquarters. And I think the guides are also showing me, and I'm kind of agreeing on what Lawrence was saying, and not make it so much about the notation, but really concentrate on, you know, getting your hearing aids replaced. So I think if you went to like a president of the umbrella corporation and explained the situation, I think you would probably get some new hearing aids.
Well, thank you. I certainly appreciate everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
To me right now, it's I don't like the suggestion about only connect to a supervisor, because that doesn't look good. Because I know, because I've worked in call centers for over 20
mm-hmm.
years, and
right.
they have the proof. They can pull the call and they can listen to it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good luck to you. We wish you all the best. Okay.
Thank you.
Let us know how that goes.
Good luck.
All right.
Thanks, Wendy.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to take another caller. Here we go. Area code 831. Where are you calling from, 831?
Good morning. I'm calling from California today. I wanted to say it was beautiful listening to all of you guys.
You're a guest.
Either she's a guest or I'm a first-time caller, so I don't know if she's a guest, but I love the the bath, the spiritual bath that really I was led to some rosemary, Epsom salt, and in the store they normally carry at Walmart like really cheap Epsom salt, but for some reason this is all they had, and I thought, you know what, I'm supposed to be taking this. I have a surgery coming up on Monday on my heart, actually. They said that I had two heart attacks on the 8th and 9th of March, and what happened was no one did any testing on the second heart attack to see how much damage was done, but it's on the right side of my heart.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to – they don't know if it's stents or an ablation or if they're going to wake me up and say open heart. I don't really know. Do you have any insight if it's going to be stents put in or what's going to happen? I'm not sure if you said anything. My phone was about to die, so I switched phones really quickly.
That was deaf. No, we're just kind of tuning in. So you got a medical question, essentially.
Tune into
so
my
just,
energy.
Yeah. So we're just getting synced up with your energy and our guides and calibrating. Tanya, jump in.
Is it okay if I jump in?
Absolutely. You're the queen of the show. So.
I feel like there's other things also going on with you medically. I think that there were things that led up to this, and this is like the result of other medical things. And I think that what Spirit is telling me is that you have to be sure that everything that is underlining, like, is also being addressed. I feel like there can be a change to the procedure once you're there. I do feel like you're going to be fine. You're going to be good. But I do think that there's underlining things both medically and spiritually that you have to attend to. Because what I'm getting, the energy that I'm getting, is that there's a lot of things that you also do not verbalize, things that you carry with you. And it's also causing a weight with you physically, these things that you cannot get out verbally, things that have happened. And I feel like the bath and the things, I think that's awesome. I think that you should definitely, if you can, I recommend buying some white roses and taking some regular tap water, get a bowl, white roses, get one egg white, take out the yolk, put the egg white in the bowl with the white rose petals, water, the yolk, mix it with your left hand, asking for clarity when you go into this operation, asking that the surgeons performing are very clear so that you can be helped with your situation. And the way that you take this is that you take a shower, you put that bowl outside of your shower already mixed, you take a shower, and then when you're done showering completely, you're going to pour it on yourself neck down, and then you're going to pat dry, and then try to wear white clothing after that or very light clothing. This is a bath so that there's clarity in the procedure that you're going to have.
Thank you for that. I will definitely do that, and you were spot on with, the underlining issues, both spiritually, and I decided I'm going to go ahead and write that book and begin journaling and committing myself nonstop just to, I need to do it. I feel like the time is now. But with the procedure, it will help the doctors, like, see what it is that they need to do to remedy. Because, you know, there's damage on the right side of my heart.
So that will help so that they're able to see everything clearly to avoid what I'm getting is to avoid having to go back in. So what we don't want, because it's such a delicate thing, is them having to go back in, right? So, you know, maybe if it was going to be something where you had to go back numerous times, what Spirit is telling me is to try to do something so that we can limit those times, right? And it's scary, you know, but that's also going to have you feel very calm. That bath, that particular bath, really brings about a calm energy. And I feel like, you know, you're going to be good and definitely, you know, write your book. And I also feel the presence of a female energy with you. I don't know if it's your grandmother or your mother.
It's my grandmother.
Somebody with you. It's your grandmother. And she's kind of conveying to me that she's there. So, you know,
that's
even if
beautiful.
You feel like you're by yourself, she's there.
She's there. Yes, because my mom's not allowed to go in, and I've seen her materialize in front of me in like the flesh where you don't see through several years ago at the beach in broad daylight. And it was like in the movie, suddenly there were people, because I was going down steps, that went between her and I. So when the last person left, she wasn't there. And I was looking around in amazement. This was like probably 10 years ago. So I know she's with me, and I can see the orbs and stuff. So I want to make sure I understand. So tap water, white, rose petals. Take an egg. Do I just whip the egg like I'm going to scramble eggs and pour it in there, or do I just crack the egg?
Just crack the egg. Don't whip it. Crack the egg. Hold the yolk in your hand and toss it, and just use the white of the egg. Put it so it'll fall in the water, and then with your left hand, clockwise, mix it. So it'll just be the egg white, the tap water, the white rose petals, and if you can put like a couple spritzes of your favorite perfume in there, and then that's all you need for that bath.
With the egg yolk, toss it, right? Toss the egg yolk.
Yes, you don't.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, don't put the yellow because you're trying to get clarity, so we want the white of the egg.
And just maybe, I was thinking maybe meditate an hour prior to ask Spirit to guide the doctors to see clearly what it is that needs to be addressed in my heart so I won't have to come back.
That's perfect. You're already being guided to do what you need to do. Listen to yourself.
Yes, and then other thing is actually following through is the only goal, because if I don't want to have issues, that means I have to change my diet. Then with the heart, I went around saying I'm brokenhearted since 2017, where I felt like I lost a part of myself in a very devastating, very abusive, frightening situation that still has been happening. So I thought, change my words. Change it to my heart is healing, it's healed, you know, because I don't want to get stuck in that I'm constantly healing the heart. But I thought just saying I'm healed and then journaling and asking to first look through a power greater than myself, the divinity, the universe, or I like to refer to God. Let me look first through your eyes first, second through my own, so I can heal this and see what the root of this is so I can go in and forgive, not condone, but release it organically. Because once I understand, it just happens naturally. So I thought all three together. And I was completely led here today, listening to every word, going, wow, she's the real deal. She is the real deal. I'm totally resonating with you.
She is.
Yes.
Thank you.
I find it fascinating. Thank you so much. And does anyone else have anything else to add?
Yes, I do. I wanted to, what I was seeing was I the guides keep showing me. I think the doctors will also discover something else that is another condition with your heart while you're on the table. They'll find something else. And so it will be good because they will help you. And
we can address it.
Yeah. So they're going to find something else that they did not expect, but it will be a good thing. So I think this is going to be very good for you. Yep. And I would I would agree with what you said, encourage you to change the word that you're using. Yeah. You know, with describing your past. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, because often I think when people lose a part of themselves, whether it's a death or a divorce can be like a death or, you know, the list goes on. The only time I was in this situation was when I was 4 years old. It was the exact same situation. My family was being torn apart, and I took my father's, told me to go upstairs and go to bed. I took it as a rejection. Hadn't seen him in 6 months, and as a four-year-old, I didn't know what 6 months meant and had just gotten off an airplane in a rainstorm in the town of Huntington, Indiana. And what was amazing is as I was pulling myself up the carpeted yellow stairs, it was a three-story Victorian, and we were at my parents' friend's house who were acting as mediators. I got to the top of the stairs, and my best friends, Leanne and Yvonne, were sleeping. They were 4 and 8 years old. I can't believe at 4 that I would have the cognitive ability to not want to wake them up while I was crying. So I was crying into a pillow, and this beautiful fluorescent ball of blue light came out of the wall, and it startled me at first because I didn't know what was going on. So I kind of hid my little eyes under the blanket and kind of like peeked out. And it washed over me and it completely removed the grief, the pain, the despair, all of the sorrow. And then this ball went through a window, did not break it, traveled to a tree and took the form of an owl fluorescently. I could watch the breath, which put me into a sleep. And fast forward to year 2000, from 1972 to the year 2000, I did not feel that same horrific grief and pain. It was when my grandfather died, and I connected the dots and thought, they said it's too much for the toddler. We're removing it. So I'm now revisiting it, you know. And so thank you so much. As I say, your guest.
Thank you.
You're the real deal.
Well.
Thank you. Good luck
well, be
to
well.
You.
Yeah, good luck to you. Follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow the Psychic Funhouse, okay?
I definitely will. You guys are amazing.
Thank
you.
Yeah,
thank you for your dedication and
paying
it forward. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Many blessings.
All right.
I was just going to say, she's still listening. She mentioned loss a lot, and maybe once everything stabilized after the surgery, it might be beneficial for her to look into soul retrieval. It sounds like she might have lost some soul parts there, giving them away. So that can contribute to all sorts of imbalances and definitely would be something worth looking into and addressing if that's what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
it sounds like she's more connected.
Yeah, very good, right?
I
think there's some background noise happening. I don't know if somebody's shifting papers or water, but there's something coming through the mic.
Yeah.
So I don't know, that there's something happening there. Maybe that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
I'm myself some water.
Ready for the next caller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
So, how about you,
next
Tanya?
Next caller.
You ready?
Yep, let's go.
Okay.
All right. Area code 856.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hello. Hi. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Rosemary from New Jersey.
Hi, Rosemary.
Hello.
Hi. I have like a lot of stuff going on and nothing's going through. I'm waiting on a callback or whatever, however you say it, for a job or a relationship. He has a deadline on Monday. So I was wondering whatever's going to happen first or business, whatever's coming through for me. I'm working on the business part right now, so I don't know what's going to happen first, if that makes sense.
You want like three different things? Let's go.
Oh, one of them.
Relationship. Okay.
Because I know the relationship and the business are together. I knew that for a fact.
Uh huh.
He's not budging yet.
Have you called us before, Rose Maria? I think this is
probably a while ago.
Yeah. So this is the same dude that we've been working with you about.
Yeah,
the deadline.
He's connected, yeah, with the business and stuff, so.
So has there been any movement since we've talked last, or pretty much
no,
the same,
he has
or?
A deadline to respond to me by Monday, so.
Or what, and then what happened? What happened?
He hasn't responded yet, so I
No, I mean, the, what, what's the consequence
him.
If he, yeah, what's the consequence if he doesn't respond the way that you're hoping?
If he wants the relationship, he has to marry me at a certain date. So.
Well, okay. Okay.
I know the businesses are together with him, so.
Uh-huh.
And my electronics just went dead for
Uh-oh.
Some reason.
Uh-oh. Goes to the machine.
So, I'm sorry. I'm confused as to what's the question. I do better with, like, yes or no questions, I guess. So what's the question exactly? If he's going to agree to your deadline, is that the question?
Right. There will be a consequences to it. So if he doesn't respond for my business and stuff like that, if that's going to happen or my business is going to bloom, if that makes sense, or am I saying it the wrong way? Because I started that up, kind of, sort of, doing research.
Okay.
Honey, what
so
are you getting?
I feel like in your business, it's in the baby steps, right? Like you're in the beginning of your transition into what you want to do. So I definitely feel like you could focus your energy onto that so that you can make it successful. It's definitely worth your time and looking into it. And then as far as your relationship, I feel like your deadlines get pushed. So I don't see it coming to resolution on Monday. I feel like there's a lot of things that need to be resolved, and I see you moving, which I think you've moved your deadlines before, so I see you moving your situation is going to need a revision, maybe a time revision.
Time religion?
Revision. I don't see it resolving on Monday.
Right.
He has no other choice because I'm coming home soon.
Okay.
So,
Michael, do you have anything?
Basically, it's what Tanya said. I don't see any of this being resolved anytime soon. And the guides kind of say any connection to this person, it's kind of like you need to move on already. He's basically under his wing.
I have no other choice.
Well,
there's a reason for that.
Okay.
I have no other choice. I was put under that placement. It wasn't by me. It wasn't by him. It was by his mother. long time ago.
Well, I mean, at least you're mirthful about it. You know, you could be really upset, but you're taking it remarkably well, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know what he has to resolve or what we have has been done, and I don't know what else has to be resolved. I know what his has to be resolved.
Yeah, I think the resolution comes for each of us within ourselves first. And I think, you know, you're in this place where you want something, you're not getting it, and you're kind of keep pressing the same button, wanting to get the same result, and it's not happening. And I get it. It's frustrating, I'm sure. But I don't, you know, I'm kind of concurring with everybody where your desire is really chasing something that's just not going to come under your control. So I guess the best thing that my guides have to offer is to figure out in this situation how to take your power back, because I think you've been giving it away quite a bit to several people, including this person. And however that translates for you, that's probably the best path forward. But, you know, that's again, that's a choice, just like the choice you're making with this situation. So it's entirely up to you, Rosemaria.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I hope that was helpful.
Take care.
Good night.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Next caller is area code 678. Hello, 678. What's your name and where
Hi.
Are you calling from?
Hi, it's Kathy from Georgia.
Hi. Kathy from Georgia.
How
can
we
help
you? I had a relationship. Could you see what's going on with it?
Okay. Can you be more specific about the question about the relationship? What would you like to know
about? I guess how does he feel about me? Will it work out? Should I move on?
Okay.
What's the name of the person, Kevin?
Anthony, call him Tony.
Okay. Thank you.
One of the things I keep seeing is like he's connected to you and then he disconnects from you. It's almost kind of like the image that I keep getting. It's almost kind of like a what was that stuff called? It's almost like gum, and the gum like sticks to you for a while and then it pulls away, and then it goes back, it sticks, and then it pulls away. And I keep seeing this image, and I don't get. So what I'm surmising from this is that he's not basically move on. Can you show me that more? It's almost like he's testing you. I don't know if testing is a right correct word to be using, but you know, it's like he's dipping his toe in the water with you and not fully committing and allowing himself to be with you. Do you understand any of that?
Most of it is dead on. He's I feel like I'm in a catch-22. I don't agree with the testing part a little bit, but it is like, it's indirectly he's testing me. I feel it that way. Let me say it that way. Mm-hmm. I don't think he does it intentionally. He's just really, really scared because I feel he really, really likes me, but it's like, you need the piss to get off the pot. Sorry for the language. Because mm-hmm. it's just, you're a grown man. Figure it out.
Yeah.
You either,
right.
You know what I mean? So that's what's hard for me. Cause you know how, when you know, I feel like we're meant to be, but, and he's a Pisces too. So he overthinks everything that he does. So I'm not waiting, but I am waiting. And I know that's total contradiction. If somebody came and said, hey, let's go out, I'm interested in you, and I was interested, I would go. But it's not like I'm looking at the same time. You know what I mean? If it falls in my lap, great.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell me.
Well, I think you've already moved on, and you're just coming to terms with that, right? And this is part of it, talking to us and verbalizing it. So I think it's best to honor that and just accept it and not dwell on it. You do well when you're able to really be in a clear place and be, I mean, like most of us, and just be really focused and everything's out in the open, and anything hidden that you have to try to pull out and tease out, it's just such a frustrating process for you that it's almost not even worth it, right? So honor what you're really feeling and what you're being told, you know, not by us, but by whoever, however you listen to those things. I think to do otherwise, you're going to find it very vexing and troublesome. So, but again, your choice. So
why do you say he's already moved on?
No, you have already moved on. You have. You're not emotionally invested in this the way that you were in the beginning. Does that make sense?
That's true, but I'm...
Right.
I'm neither moved on or not moved on. So it's just I see what I'm glad I clarified that. So do you think he's moved on?
Well, I guess what I want to focus on is the you can't do both. In this situation, I know you're trying to like play both sides of the fence, but you admitted, right? You came out, which is great to be able to say that, and even if it's difficult, that you're not emotionally invested. Then you're not invested. Then the relationship isn't happening, and it's not there. It's not. So why would you want to be connected to something you're not emotionally invested in? Do you see what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
No, and maybe you. I am still emotionally there, but I totally keep contradicting myself. But I'm emotionally still
mm-hmm.
wanting it to happen, but I can't let it absorb my mind and my everyday thoughts, or it will drag me down. So I kind of have to
mm-hmm.
indirectly detach, if it makes sense, because it'll absorb me. I mean, literally. First thing in the morning, my eyes wake, my eyes open up. He's on the brain. It's just like throughout the day, I do decently good. At night, he's on the brain. So first thing in the morning, last thing at night, always on my mind, always.
Okay.
And it's driving
me insane. I'm gonna stop you. Just, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I really want you to pay attention to what you just said. I really do, because.
Uh-huh.
Because what you're saying is you're working so hard, right, to try to turn 50 cents into, you know, $500, that this is your process, and it's not healthy, and it's not helping, and it's not getting anywhere. You're on a treadmill that is just, you know, revolving. So really pay attention to how you're feeling about all this, you know, and I know a lot of it is not positive. It's just not. And so this is what's going on, you know, versus the kind of relationship you really want and you're ready for and it's ideal. It doesn't have shigas. It doesn't have all this, like, you know, mezcla, like this whole, like, tornado stuff. Like, that's at a minimum unproductive, and beyond that, really, you know, I would say counterproductive and even kind of destructive. So I get it. You're enmeshed, and there's a lot going on, but you're also in control more than you want to admit, and you're causing confusion instead of seeking resolution. So figure out what the solution is going to be for this situation, because it's totally under your ability to do that. And then you have to commit to that choice. And I know it's difficult, but don't make it any more difficult than it has to be, because it's unnecessary. And you're way beyond that. Seriously. And I say that with as much compassion as I have, but I want you to just hear it.
No, I know. I like the truth. Are you saying make a decision and move on, basically?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying you already made the decision. You've already moved on. You're just coming to terms with that. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're catching up to your emotional honesty, right? You're intellectualizing a bunch of stuff and trying to rationalize and come up with, you know, Rube Goldberg-esque, like, fixes for something that's just not going to work. And it's hard, but the reality is this relationship was over a while ago, right? I mean...
And that's, okay. I wouldn't agree there.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, again, it's up to you. That's totally up to you. But I know. If everybody else wants to chime in, they're totally welcome to. But.
I don't have anything else. Tanya, do you have anything to add?
No, I think I agree with what both of you have said. I don't have anything to add on this one.
Yeah.
So has
well, good
moved
luck
on?
To you. I think he's stuck. I think he's stuck, Kathy. And I, from what I'm seeing, I don't see him moving out of this place. And I don't think you will be able to move him out of this place either. Yeah. And, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, hopefully he might. But I think also, too, if you make a decision and say, okay, you know, I'm going to give this another month, and or whatever time frame you choose, and you can just say, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and if, you know, you can't commit, then I have to move on. I think it might help some, but I really don't think it's going to help any. You know, he's just, I think what you said, he's scared, but he's also stuck as well.
Why is he stuck?
He's not asking the question, and he's not here, you know, asking that question. Yeah, so we're not going to kind of go into his stuff. But, you know, you need to take care of you. And so the advice is for you. Yeah. Well, good luck to you, Kathy.
Okay, I said that. Thank
right.
you, guys.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kathy.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, so can't believe
the music.
It's already time. Yeah, well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And thank you, Tanya, for coming on our show, for being here.
Thank
we really
you.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Amazing.
I had a lot of fun.
Simply
thank
amazing.
You.
Yeah, there's so much.
So,
you can come back for a bunch of shows. Never run out of material.
Right.
Really great stuff. Yeah, really great person.
If people want to get a hold of you, Tanya, how can they do that?
They can follow me on Instagram through Ashe Imports, A-S-H-E Imports. Follow me, and then if you have a question, you can message me, direct message me. So it's Ashe Imports, and then my new podcast with Martin, it's called Brujo 101, will be released, we're hoping, next week. So, Thank you. You got great. Michael on there. He's great. Thank you. Nice.
Yeah.
And Lauren?
Very cool. My number is 541-344-7534. Email is givingtree@earthlink.net. Giving Tree Farm Herbs, my Facebook page, and givingtreefarm.com is my website. And you, Mr. Espinoza, what's the best way to reach out?
Okay, you can reach me through my website, michaeljespinoza.com. You can schedule a reading or a healing with me there, or you can reach me at 562-457-0457. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Tanya. Follow the show.
Thank you.
And we appreciate all of you.
And we'll
have
be on our
great
regular
day,
drive
everybody.
Next Friday. Yep, 6 to 7:30 Friday. So we'll see you then.
Yep. See you then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye now.